The world has written a narrative of motherhood that's narrow and limiting. But that's not how motherhood was designed to be. We don't have to accept that narrative or stay in that confined space. As Christian mothers, we have the freedom to create a beautiful, fulfilling, and inspiring life for ourselves and for our families. We can live a life of purpose and vision in the midst of the confusion around us. I want you to move from being unsure to being confident as a mom. I want to see you let go of the overwhelm and guilt and embrace the freedom we have in Christ. Let's learn how to enjoy the life and the family we've been given. Let's create homes where faith can grow and hearts can be shaped for the kingdom. I'm Audrey McCracken, and welcome to Grace for My Home. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Grace for My Home. I am so excited to be back here with you guys today and so thankful that you've decided to join me again today. We are getting ready for Christmas, slowly but surely. Our tradition since our boys have been very little has always been that the day after Thanksgiving, we go and get a tree, a real tree, and decorate it. And that's just our little family tradition. But as the years have gone on, our boys have been less and less into it. So it ends up looking like this. We go get a tree, and I spend the rest of the day trying to get lights strung on that tree. And then the next day trying to get decorations on that tree. And everybody else is watching football or doing their thing. So I decided this year, let's change it up. And I told my husband, let's go get an artificial tree with the lights, a pre-lit tree. And then I'll have more time to enjoy everybody. And so we did that this year. And my middle son, Luke, he just could not believe we had broken the tradition. He said I had ruined Christmas. He was exaggerating a bit, but you know, he said, Mom, I just cannot believe you of all people, because I love tradition. But I told him, I said, well, Luke, think of it like this. The hours that I didn't have to wrestle that tree were the hours that you get to spend with me. And so I love you more than I love tradition. Well, I don't think he bought it, but that's okay. The tree is beautiful, and it didn't take half as long as it normally did. And it's just beautiful. So it's starting to feel and look like Christmas, except for the 75 degree weather, but that's just how it is in the South. That's Christmas in the South. But I do hope it cools down a little bit for Christmas, so at least feels like winter. But I hope that you guys are doing well and preparing for a Merry Christmas. I wanted to share with you today, I've had this on my mind for some time, and I was just waiting for the right time to share it. And I thought, I think now is the right time. I want to talk with you about seven pearls of wisdom from the parable of the 10 virgins. When I was a young Christian, probably in my 20s, I remember telling another young lady that I wanted to be a woman of God. I wanted to be a woman of wisdom. And she laughed at me. She laughed right in my face. And she just thought that was the funniest notion. And I guess, you know, after I was a little embarrassed, but I thought, well, I guess that doesn't sound too cool, right? I guess that's not what most women in their 20s are thinking about. But today, looking back on it about 30 years later, I stand by that statement. I do want to be a woman of wisdom. And when I think about what that means, I think about our life. To be a woman of wisdom, it's like we're searching for truth. We're searching for these precious truths of wisdom, these pearls of wisdom. And as we find them, we hide them in our heart. You know, we take them and say, ooh, I like that. I'll take that. And it's like we hide it in our heart and we ponder these truths, these pearls of wisdom. And the longer we keep them, the more we love them, the more we meditate on them and try to put them to practice in our life, then we become a woman of wisdom. And the Bible is full of these truths. And so when I'm reading the Bible, a lot of times I'll look for them. I'll say, Lord, show me the wisdom in this. And this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins, is a great place to find this kind of wisdom, these kind of pearls. And I want to share with you today some things that have really been a blessing to me as I've read this through the years. To kind of set the stage, in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples and they're asking him questions about, when are you going to establish the kingdom? You know, when are these things going to happen? And he tells them that time, those times are not for you to know. He told them, I don't even know. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. But then he gives them this parable right after that, where he tells them there were 10 virgins and they were waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. And when the bridegroom arrived, they were to go into the banquet with him to celebrate the marriage. And this was the tradition of their day. This was how they celebrated marriages. And so they were very familiar with this concept, but Jesus was relating it to when he would come into the kingdom, when he would come back. And he was showing them, this is what you do between the time I depart and the time I return. And he said, so these women are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, and he takes longer than they thought he would, so they all fall asleep. And when they wake up, their lamps are going out. And five of them, the wise virgins, had prepared for that. They had brought extra oil in a jar, but the other five had not. And so they asked the five who had planned ahead, hey, let us borrow some of your oil. And those wise women said, no, there's not enough for both of us. None of us will have enough. You go buy it from the merchants and come back. And so that's what they do. But while they're gone, the bridegroom comes. He takes the five wise who had oil and he takes them into the banquet and shuts the door. So when the foolish come, they're locked out because they weren't prepared. They weren't ready for his coming. And so Jesus is showing his disciples, this is what it's going to be like when I return. Those who are ready for me, they will go in. They will be a part. They will be my bride. They will go in with me. And so in this, you know, Jesus separates the five foolish from the five wise. And so I like to look at this and think, well, what were the differences between the wise and the foolish? Well, of course, one was prepared and one wasn't. But what kind of woman is that is prepared versus the one who is not? And I just want to propose to you seven pearls of wisdom that I think we can gather from this parable that has encouraged me many, many times in my mama walk. The first one is, a wise woman is one who has her eyes on the prize. A wise woman is the one who is looking forward to the coming of the Lord. One day we will all stand before the Lord, either when he comes or when he calls us to him. And so our goal while we're here on earth, this short amount of time we've been given, is to prepare for that day. Everything we do should be centered around that goal, that one day I'm going to have to give an account for the life I live. And when I stand before him, I want there to be oil in my lamp. You see, your lamp is your soul. It's your heart. It's your inner being. And the oil is the Holy Spirit. And when we're full of oil, when we're full of the Holy Spirit, and he sets our hearts ablaze for Jesus, then we shine for the Lord. And we draw men to us. We draw people to us because we have light and they are attracted to that light and they want that light. And so when we are a witness for Christ, when we're living our life for him, then our hearts are a light to the world. And so when he comes back, I want him to find me ablaze for him. I want him to find me with oil in my lamp. And I want to hear him say, well done. You know, that's my goal. And this is for, you know, everything we do, it should be centered around that goal. Our life work, you know, being a mom, being a dad, working on my job, Everything I do should be centered around that, living my life so that when Christ comes, I have oil in my lamp, I'm ready to see Him, and I'm about His business. So that's the first pearl of wisdom that I see in this story. A wise woman is preparing for that day. It's on her mind, and it's her goal. Is, you know, I might be doing all these other little things. I might be, you know, doing all this stuff, but it's all for that day. It's all for Jesus. The second pearl of wisdom is it's going to take longer than you think it will. These ladies fell asleep because it took a long time for the bridegroom to arrive, longer than they had expected. And that's true in so many ways in life. You know, we have to have a mindset that this is probably going to take longer than I expected. And we have to prepare our minds because being a mom is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is a lifetime commitment. And so if it takes longer than we expected and we don't understand that that's part of the process, then we can abandon the work before it's finished. We can give up our ideals of raising our children for God, of reaching their hearts for Him before we've seen the fruit of our labor, because we think we missed Him somewhere, because it shouldn't take all this. And so part of being a woman of wisdom is to go ahead and prepare our minds that I'm going to stay on this path, even if it takes longer than I want it to, or I thought it should, or I thought it would. You know, a wise woman doesn't give up because it takes longer than she thought it would. So that's the second pearl of wisdom. And the third is like it. The third is it's going to cost more than you thought it was going to cost. You know, these women, these foolish women, they didn't pay the price up front. They only had enough oil for a short amount of time. And so when it took longer, they hadn't bought enough. They hadn't spent enough. They underestimated the cost, and they had to go back and buy more. And that is so true of our walk with the Lord. It will cost us more than we think it will cost. And you might ask, well, how much is it going to cost me? Everything. It'll cost you everything, your entire life. You know, and just when you think you've given everything, God will ask for more. I remember thinking many times, I cannot clean up one more mess. And somebody would spill a glass of milk or a bowl of Cheerios. You know, I remember thinking, I cannot referee one more argument. I can't not stay up one more night. And that's exactly what would be required. And somehow I got through it. Somehow I did it. Now, I know it was grace. You know, I know it was grace, but I got to see that there was a lot more inside of me. I was capable of a lot more than I thought I was capable of. You know, God stretched me. And a lot of times in those times, we see stuff in us that's ugly and that we wish we didn't see. But the point is, it's part of the price. It's part of the cost of giving our life to the Lord, is that it's all His. You know, this is my life, Lord, and I'll serve it here where nobody sees. You know, I want to be obedient to You. And guys, He's not asking more of us than He's given us. You know, He gave His whole life for us. And in return, we give Him our life. And it's a bargain. There's a scripture. Now, Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." So it seems like a high price, but it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that we're going to enjoy in Christ and the reward that He has for us giving Him our lives to serve Him. So we have to prepare in our minds, this is going to cost me more than I think it is. And that's the way it works. That's just the way it works. And there's not something strange has happened to me because it feels like, you know, I'm dying. There were days I felt like I was going to die. But you know what? I didn't die. not in the physical. I might have died inside, but it's worth it. And a wise woman realizes that. A wise woman understands this is going to cost me, but it's worth it. Number four is it's not going to look like you thought it would look. Things rarely do look like we think they're going to look, do they? You know, it's important when we decide that we're going to be mamas for the Lord, when we're going to raise our children for Him, that we're going to be faithful in that calling. It's important for us to have a vision of our life, a vision of how we want our life to look, of how we want our home to look, and how we want our family to look. You know, it's important to have a vision, because without a vision, you know, we perish. Without a vision, we cast off restraint. So it's important to have a vision so we have a direction that we're aiming towards. But it's not unusual to get in the middle of our calling and it not look anything like we thought it was going to. And it actually may look like the opposite of what we thought it was going to look like. You know, we may have days that it just feels like a big old mess. And there's a temptation in that mess, in that moment, to think, I have ruined this. I have ruined them. I just give up. And don't give up, because that's when faith is what you're standing on. You're standing on the fact that, you know, I'm doing this for Him. And He is going to have to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. So a wise woman has to understand that it's not always going to look like you thought it was, but be faithful anyway. Do it anyway. Stay in the process anyway. And when you come out on the other side, He may refine your vision. He may change what you expected. But the most important thing is He will do it. And you will be glad that you partnered with Him and that you set out to build this with Him. So don't give up because things don't look like you thought they would. Don't give up hope. You know, when you give up hope, there's a temptation to compromise. You know, it's a real temptation to compromise our ideals. But it's a test of our faith, and it'll purify us and make us stronger when we hold on, even when it doesn't look like we thought it would. Number five is rest isn't optional, it's essential. I have heard this parable preached and taught from the view that these women were foolish because they fell asleep and they should have been awake when the Lord came. But they all fell asleep, even the ones that Jesus commended as being wise. We all need rest. It's okay to rest. You know, He didn't condemn them for resting. It's a long walk. It's a long journey. And it's longer than you think it's going to be, right? You have to plan times of rest, because if you don't, you're going to run out of steam. And you're going to throw in the towel because it's just too much. Burnout is real. Now, if we're always running hard after Jesus and we're determined to bring our children with us and we never rest, then one day our body and our mind is just going to say no more. It's going to say, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't have any more resources. You know, and our lack of rest will catch up with us. And the only way I know to deal with burnout is to rest. And the only way I know to prevent burnout is to make rest a part of your lifestyle, is to understand that it's not optional, it's essential. You know, when we take time to rest, then our minds can reset. We can refocus on our vision. You know, we can refine, you know, what are we doing this for? You know, we can start enjoying our children and our family again instead of just enduring them. You know, it reminds us why we're doing these things in the first place, and it brings our joy back. You know, it helps us to be kind to our children and it makes them want to be around us. So a wise woman makes rest a regular part of her life for her own health and for the sake and health of her children and her family. Number six is some things you can't give to others. To be a wise woman, we have to learn that there are some things that we can't give away to other people. You know, they have to go get them for themselves from the same place you got yours, and that's Jesus. You know, as a mom, we are constantly giving and giving and giving and then giving some more. And if we don't fill up with Jesus, then we're not going to have anything left to give. We have to constantly be taking in more oil. We have to be feeding our minds with the Word and renewing our minds in the Word. And if we don't, we're not going to have a reservoir to draw from to give out. And, you know, God wants to fill us up. He wants to keep our lamp full. But we have to go to Him for that resource. But a wise woman knows when she can give and when she can't give, and what she can give and what she can't give. You know, when you have a light inside of you, when you shine for Jesus, people are going to be drawn to you. And they want that hope that you have. They want that joy that you have. You know, they want that peace that you have. And that's a good thing. But you have to point them to the source. You know, Jesus is the source. He's the source of your hope and your joy and your peace. And they can't take yours. You have to send them to Him. See, these wise virgins, they knew, I can't give you mine. This is what I use to serve the Lord in my home and my family. You'll have to go to the merchant and buy your own. You'll have to get it from the same place I got mine. See, we have to make sure that we're not giving out more than we're taking in, and we're not giving to people who just don't want to go to the source to get their own. They want to take ours. Now, that may seem cruel. That may just seem so unloving, but it's part of being wise. You do not have an unlimited supply. You know, Jesus has an unlimited supply, but you are limited. And then when you're empty, you have to go to Him and fill back up. So if you let people drain you constantly, you won't have enough for your own family, for your own home. You know, I've noticed when I give out too much, you know, I'm working hard to be kind and patient and thoughtful and loving to all these people. But then I come home and then I'm not kind and patient and loving to these people in my home. And usually that's a sign to me that I'm empty, that I've given out, and now I got to fill back up with Jesus. So I have something for these that are my top responsibility, these that can't go to Jesus for themselves yet. And, you know, and this works for older kids too. Part of being a mom is teaching your children that Jesus is the source and that they have to go to Him for some things. When they're little, they can't do that, right? You are their go-between. But as they grow, we have to point them to Jesus so they know where the source is, that the never-ending source. And that's part of our job as a mom. But a wise woman knows, I cannot give and give and give without taking in, and I can't give out to others what God has given me for me and my home. So I hope that's an encouragement to you. The seventh and final pearl of wisdom that I want to share with you from this parable is, we must be ready for His timing and not ours. Timing is everything. The five wise women were able to go into the celebration with the bridegroom because they planned ahead to be ready when he arrived. They were working on His time. And part of being a wise woman is being sensitive to God's timing. Good opportunities often come at an inopportune time. But we have to recognize, oh, this is the time of the Lord. And we have to jump on those opportunities. And nobody ever told me that teenagers just want to talk at night. That is when they're ready to talk. One of my sons, I'll use as an example. I can tell usually, not always, but I can usually tell when something is not good, when something's worrying or weighing on one of them. And I can ask them, you know, you doing okay? I'm fine. Everything okay? Yeah, I'm good. But I know something's weighing on him. And I can go ride. I can pick him up from school. He won't say a word. We can drive an hour and I'll be like, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. Won't say a word. But as soon as I'm ready to lay down at night, Mama, you got a minute? There's just something about nighttime that their hearts open up. And it's tempting to say, honey, not right now. But we have to have ears to hear, oh, this is the Lord. This is the time. He's opening up his heart to me, and I need to be available. And so timing is so crucial in every area. That's just one small little example. But we have to have ears to hear when the Lord has need of us, and we need to be available during those times. You know, these women, they were on God's time. And so that's what we need to be. We need to be on God's time. So I hope these have been encouraging to you. My desire is they would be a blessing, a goal, but not a heavy burden. These are things I've pondered over for years. And I love it when, you know, the Lord brings up a situation. I'm like, oh, I can use one of those, because this sure is taking a lot longer than I thought it'd take. And I'm like, oh, that's one of those pearls of wisdom. Doesn't mean I've done something wrong. Doesn't mean God's not faithful. It's just the way it is. That's how the kingdom operates. And so just knowing these things in your heart help when we go through life's bumps. And I pray this has been an encouragement to you, because I really want to see you thrive and enjoy your life and be ready and have hearts that are ablaze with Him when He comes. Lord, thank you for my friends. Thank you, Lord God, for the hope that you've put in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Spirit. Lord, help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And Lord, help us to be sensitive to you. And God, most of all, help us to crave and desire wisdom from above so that we won't be foolish. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you've enjoyed this episode today and will join me here again next week. You can find more encouragement on my blog at gracefromahome.com. God bless. Bye-bye.